They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Then Hebrews 13:3. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let's pray. Father, direct us, as you have already directed us through your word in prayer. Direct us now through your word proclaimed. By the power of your Spirit, to the glory of your name. Amen. Grab a seat. Someone say, remember. Somebody else say, remember. Remember, God wants you to remember. This is a rich word that shows up through the Bible. It's about the mind. It's about the heart. It's about where you belong, who you are, how you live. And when we think about Christians who are persecuted, we can remember their suffering. We can remember their courage. We can remember their loss or their anxiety. We can remember their fears that they face. We can remember their witness, the impact they have on other believers, on bystanders, even on their opponents. We remember. But when we look in Acts chapter 5, this first instance of violence against Jesus' followers, it forms the foundation, it provides the pattern, it establishes an example and makes the mold, it charts the course and determines the direction for how we think and how we remember. And what it teaches us is that before we remember the names of our brothers and sisters, there is the name. There is the name that we remember. In chapter 5, when they are beaten up and threatened and thrown out and heard, don't talk anymore about this name, they go out rejoicing that they are counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. This starts back in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Peter and John are going into the temple and there is a man begging, a cripple. And they say, look. And he looks up at them and some of you know the story. They say, silver or gold we do not have, but what we do have, we give you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And before we remember the names of our brothers and sisters suffering, we remember his name, the name, the healing name, the life-restoring name, the name of the great physician, the name of joy, the name of new beginnings. When the crowds rush together, Peter and John, they say, it is not our name. It's not our name. No. And then they began to talk. They say, let us tell you about the name. It is an ancient name. They say the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is a promised name, of God's plan through the ages coming to one person. This is a glorious and honored name. The ones that you look up to, they look up to Him. Let us tell you about that name. It is a holy and righteous name. The perfect name, the unstained name, the good name without fault or failing. Let us tell you about that name. Though you denied and crucified, though you gave Him the name of sorrow and shame, called Him a liar, a fraud, powerless, rejected on that cross by man and also by God, suspended there, though you gave Him that name, hanging Him on the cruel tree, let us tell you about that name. His name is the Author of Life. God raised Him from the dead, and His is a resurrection name. His is an open the eyes of the blind lame. His is a little girl, wake up. Woman, you are healed name. Let me tell you about the name before you remember their name. His is a forgiving name. Peter and John look out at the crowd and said, "You acted in ignorance." And His is a name that will blot out all of your sins, erase your record of wrongs. This is a saving name. This is a leave the 99 for the one lost sheep name. Let us tell you about that name. This is the name of the one who was received into heaven. And if you receive that name, they say that times of refreshing will come down upon you. This is a name of joy, a name that is sweeter than honey. The name of the Prince of Peace, the Light of the World, a tear-drying name, a soul-lifting name, a burden-bearing, division-ending, bondage-breaking name. They say, let us tell you about the name. He was received into heaven, and this is a victorious name. Amen, church? This is a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Bright Morning Star name. A name of authority who will judge the world in righteousness. Let us tell you about that name. And as Peter and John are threatened and then detained and held because of that name, because this is a name of conflict and controversy, this is a name that people cannot ignore. The name of Jesus is a heart-searching, secret-revealing, sin-convicting, evil-confronting, even devil-defeating name. And they say, let us tell you about this name. Don't worry about our names. And as we think about the suffering saints around the world, they say, yes, remember us, but it's ultimately not about us. Remember the name, the great name of Jesus. As we think about the families of the faithful. There is a name who is father to the fatherless, husband to the widow, friend who sticks closer than a brother, the one who will never leave or forsake. Remember the name. As we think about the church under a crushing burden, they have the name that is a promise-keeping name, that is a battle-winning name, that says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not what? Prevail. Will not prevail against it. There is a name when the Apostle Paul writes, he says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty strength. There is a name for the suffering saints, for the families of the faithful, for the churches being crushed, and even for the persecutors in their empty power. Because the Apostle Paul, who was a persecutor, speaks of that name coming and walking in our shoes, descending to the lowest, dying on the cross. But then, watch this, you know how this goes. It says that God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above some names? No. Most names? No. The name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth and confess the name that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When we look at this first instance, the mold, the pattern, the foundation, the course that is charted for us, they say, remember the name. Remember the name. And then when we remember the name, we remember their names. Jesus speaks of his followers being reviled. In Matthew 5, that's a face-to-face insult. Wait, you believe in three gods? That doesn't make any sense. That's not what the scriptures teach. Wait, you believe in a God who died on a cross? What excuse for love and power is that? Wait, you're going to leave your family or your profession? That is foolish and wrong. Speaks of his followers being reviled. Then he speaks of people uttering falsehoods, speaking falsely of them on his accounts, being despised, of your reputation being dragged through the mud. You'll hear people say, you can take anything from me, but you can't take my good name. People can. He says their name is insulted. Their name is despised. And then in verse chapter 11, it speaks of them going about in this terrible clothing, animal skins, because they're so poor. Talks about people in this video who are on the run and because of that don't own shoes anymore. reviled, despised, destitute, and then displaced, dwelling in caves, in deserts and mountains. There were no refugee camps then. There is no Voice of the Martyrs, Open Doors, Samaritan's Purse. Their names are reviled, despised, destitute, displaced. It says, remember those who are in prison. They are now detained. And then it speaks of the dying. Remember their names. Reviled, despised, destitute, displaced, detained, and dying. But there are other names given in this passage. Matthew 5. Jesus says, blessed are you. The one says, no, you are reviled, despised, destitute, displaced, it's terrible. And Jesus says, you are blessed. The one says, how are, I don't see blessed. This is not blessed. And they are blessed because God smiles down on his children. They are blessed at that moment, and then it also speaks of a great reward. The world sees reviled, despised, destitute, displaced, detained, and dying, and God says, no, your name is blessed. Then there's another name that shows up twice. It's in Acts 5 and then also in Hebrews 13. This is the name Worthy. The disciples are roughed up, threatened, and sent packing. And they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And then Hebrews 11, it describes all of these terrible circumstances. They were stoned. That's mob violence. They were sawn in two. That's you come up with a plan, you get a big saw. They were killed with the sword. This is meditated. This is thought out. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. Of whom the world was not worthy. Remember their names. Blessed and worthy. Blessed and worthy. Blessed and worthy. And how we remember their names. We look for them. As you pay attention to what is happening in the world, maybe it was this recent terror attack in France. Or as you read about refugees and asylum seekers, you say, yes, God's people are sprinkled in there. And oh, this thing in France, and how does it connect elsewhere as an example that others will unfortunately follow in the footsteps of? You look out and you remember their names. You look. And then you learn their names. If you're interested in any part of the world, any part of history, if you look closely, you will find the suffering church there. Uganda or France, India, Peru, England, Russia, Korea, the U.S. Because the power of the darkness of the human heart and of the devil is not limited by geography, government, ideology, or circumstance. If you look closely, you will learn their names. And then you lift them up in prayer. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he did not say, "Pray like this, my Father in heaven." What's that first word? Our. He says, "Remember those who are in prison because you are in the body." And he's speaking of our union in Christ and also of our lives in this world, that we live and suffer and work and play and cry and smile with them. Someone say, remember. Someone say, remember. We remember their names as we remember the name. The one who taught us, pray like this, our Father. Would you please pray with me now? Our Father, we thank you for the great name of Jesus that we can just reflect on and worship and glory in. Lord, we remember their names. And right now, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray to you, knowing, Lord, that you have put your people all over the world like salt, like yeast scattered through the flour. And Lord, we know that your people live under all kinds of different governments and families and authorities. And that every authority in this world is accountable to you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would soften hearts and turn them from evil. Father, we pray for those who have life and death in their hands, that they would show restraint. Father, we pray that world leaders and local leaders would fear you and have some sense of your coming judgments. Father, we pray against favoritism based on faith, on tribe, on ethnicity or class that would turn the law against your people or ignore their just demands. Father, we pray that you would raise up wise, righteous, and humble leaders throughout this earth, and that you would quickly bring the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in his name. Amen.